Galatians 5, starting at verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And then our text this evening, verses 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So far, God's word. Let's bring this word we just heard and ask him for his blessing on it this evening. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you as we reflect the battle that goes on in our own hearts, Lord, that we may not despair this evening, but that we may think about your Holy Spirit, that we may lean on your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would first of all help us to understand these words, to apply these words, but also to apply these words to our lives, to lead us into truth. We pray this asking for your blessing through the only name that saves us, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I used to do a lot when I was a physio was look at people walking. I used to analyze their walks. I'm not so good at it nowadays, but you can tell what kind of injury a person has by the way they're walking. People who have back injuries often walk in a certain way. People who have hip injuries, knee injuries, ankle injuries all have a particular way of walking. And I still catch myself sometimes doing that. So if you see me staring at you as you're walking along, that's probably what I'm doing. Thinking, what's going on there with that walk? This afternoon we're going to look at walking too. The question of how Christians walk. How should they walk? In particular, as I've said, we're focusing in on just that section of question and answer 32 that talks about how Christians walk, how Christians should walk as we're anointed and share in Christ's anointing, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life. This morning we spoke about the battle that we had with the world, didn't we? That we're in a spiritual battle. But the Heidelberg Catechism also makes it clear that that's not the only battleground. We fight our foes, question answered. 127 says, those foes, can anyone tell me what those foes are that we fight? Question answer 127. I'll give you a clue. The world is one of those foes. Ourselves, the flesh, and the third one? The devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And in particular tonight, we're going to talk about the battle in our own flesh. We're going to see this evening that as Christians, we are called to walk by the Spirit. We are called to walk by the Spirit. And our first point this evening is that it is a battle. It is a battle. Our text is clear. There are two sides to this battle, the spirit and the flesh. But why does Paul come to this point? What's the context of our passage? Well, Paul in Galatians has been battling a false gospel. A gospel that says it's not just enough to believe in Jesus Christ, you also have to do works. And in particular, you have to be circumcised. And Paul fights this battle against the Jewish laws. And Paul says, and we read about that as well, that it is faith that saves us. You don't need to live under the Jewish system, Paul says. Christ has set you free. But some of the Christians in the church at Galatia were using that freedom to go and pursue their own agendas. That's why Paul says there in verse 13, for you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. They were following their own desires. Christ has saved us. We're free to go and do what we want, they said. And they were using their freedom at the expense of others. We don't know exactly what that looks like, but it's easy to build a picture. People were not being loved in the church. People were being missed out in the church. People were loving themselves and not others. And there were fights too, no doubt fights over doctrine, fights over personalities. So much so that Paul says there in verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. If you keep on fighting and taking chunks out of each other, you're going to eat each other up, is what Paul literally says. So in light of this, Paul says, don't walk according to the flesh. Don't walk funny. Don't walk loving yourself. Don't be guilty of not caring. But what of the battle? Who's facing who in this battle? Boys and girls, I've already said it, but who is the battle between? Between the? Mr. DeBoer's moving his lips again, but he's not allowed to speak just yet. Between the? Starts with S. It's here in our passage. It's in your Bible. Between the what? I hear a few whispers there. Between the? Oh, it's going to be a long sermon tonight, isn't it? I got all night. Between the what and the what? Between the spirit? Yes, I'll take that. Thank you for putting me out of my misery. The spirit and the? Flesh. I hear the whispers. You know, we need to work on our good spirit and the flesh. Okay, that's the battle. The flesh is easy to understand. It's our old sinful nature. It's our old sinful selfish desires. It's the desires and temptations that we face because of our sinful self, the desire to look after ourselves, the desire to feed our own desires. The desire to not fight sin and live in our sin, to serve ourself, our own will, our own way. But then we have the Spirit. And if you look at this passage, what do you notice there, boys? Some of you have your Bibles open. What do you notice there in your Bibles about how the word Spirit begins? It begins with an S, but what is the S there at the beginning? It's A. It's a capital, isn't it? It's a capital. So when the Bible uses spirit with a capital S, who do you think it's referring to? OK, Kate? The Holy Spirit, yes. So what Paul is saying here is walk by the Holy Spirit. The desires of the Holy Spirit, the desires of the flesh are against the Holy Spirit. But does that mean the Holy Spirit is outside us and fighting our flesh, that we're in a battle with the Holy Spirit? No, it doesn't mean that. Because as Christians, we've received the Holy Spirit. God has given us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit unites us, brings us together with Christ, brings us into a new relationship. And the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. And because of this, in our new Christian nature, we have the same desires that the Holy Spirit has. In some ways, we can say we identify with the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit's desires helps our desires in our Christian life. Two sides to this battle. The battle that we fight with our new nature, if we can put it that way, as Paul puts it, the nature that is helped by the Holy Spirit, and our old nature in the flesh. But how is it a battle? Is it like those cartoons? You know, I'm sure you've seen the cartoons. We still have cartoons on TV nowadays, don't we? The little angel on one shoulder and the little devil with horns on it on the other side, whispering in your ear, do good, do bad, do good, do bad. Is that the kind of battle that it is? I see some shakes of heads. No, that's not the kind of battle. It's a battle that comes on within our own hearts. It's a battle that's inside us. As we fight the temptation our way or God's way, loving ourselves or loving our neighbor and loving God. So the first question for you this evening is this. Is it a battle for you? Is it a battle for you? Is it a battle to serve God, to display the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul goes on to say? Is it a struggle for you? Do you find that you have to strive to serve God? If it's not a battle, if you don't feel you're in a battle, well, there are several things that can be going on. The first thing is that you don't care. You don't simply see fighting the flesh, fighting your old nature as a problem. You're quite happy to live the way of the world, as we spoke about this morning, to be a part of it, to give in to its temptations and the desires that you have. You're quite content to be your own boss. You say you serve God, but the way you walk, especially the way you walk when your brothers and sisters in the church don't see you, says otherwise. You're not striving to serve God. You're not striving to fight sin. You're cruising, doing what you want to. And quite frankly, it doesn't really bother you. That's one possible problem. The other possible way is the way of the legalist. You have a false sense of your security. Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm keeping God's law. I'm doing good. I haven't murdered anyone this week. Last week, I've never murdered anyone. I haven't slept with someone I shouldn't. I haven't stolen anything. In fact, really, God should actually be glad to have me on his team. I check all the boxes. That's another way that we can, another trap we can fall into when it's not a battle. Or maybe it is a battle. Maybe it is a struggle for you to fight sin in your life. But you try and fight it on your own strength. You know there's the sin that you're dealing with, and you try and fight it, and you fail miserably, and you fail again and again and again. But then there is where we should be, where we all should be. We know our sin, and yes, we know it's tough, but we're committed to fight. And when we fail, when we give in to temptation, when we give in to the desires of the flesh, we know exactly where we need to go, and we know who we need to go to. We know we need to go to ask for forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, knowing that we'll have it. And as we fight that battle, we know how it works out. Now, I'm not one for spoilers. Who likes to know the end of the movie? There's a few, the end of how the movie ends. Yeah, no, not me. Apart from MasterChef, and I won't spoil it for you, I don't want to know how things go at the end. But in the Christian life, brothers and sisters, we should all be for spoilers, because the Bible tells us how it ends. It tells us how the internal battle in our lives ends. Christ wins. And because of Christ's victory, we too win. We know that despite the battle that we fight in our lives, the battle against sin that we will take to our graves, we know what the outcome is going to be. We know there is victory in Christ Jesus. But yet here we are. We are still in this battle. A battle that against our flesh. A battle against sin and against the devil. It should be a battle for us as we strive against sin and the devil in this life. And if it's not a battle for you this evening, then this passage challenges you to ask yourself, why not? Why are you not striving against sin and the devil in this life? But we don't have to strive on our own. It's not a battle that we fight on our own, and we've already had that hint there with the work at walking by the Spirit, and that's where we're going to go in our second and final point this evening, being led. Being led. We have an ally in this battle, fighting against our own flesh, against the devil. And this ally is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us fight against the desires of the flesh, to fight against our own sinful nature. As verse 17 says, the Spirit, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. That phrase, keeping you from doing the things you want to do, can be a little bit difficult to understand, but the best explanation here is that it's the Holy Spirit that keeps us from giving in to the desires of the flesh. It helps us fight that battle. The desires that we want to do, the Holy Spirit prevents us from doing, helps us to fight against. Holy Spirit leads us in that fight and leads us back to where we should be. And Paul then says in verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see, the Galatians thought they were going to be judged on performance. That their Christian walk, their Christian life, when they got to the end of it, it was going to be a poor performance review. How have you done in your life? How have you done in keeping the Ten Commandments? All of God's commandments. They felt if they were good enough, if they kept the law, then God would accept them. And in some ways, theoretically, they are right. Theoretically, they're right. If you discount original sin, if you discount the sinful nature that we're born with, technically, it would be possible to keep God's law perfectly and be right with Him. But we can't, can we? We have that original sinful nature, and we can't keep God's law perfectly. We just can't do it. But yet, and that's why I say it's technically possible, there is someone who did keep God's law perfectly. And we are made right by Him. Made right by the one who kept the law perfectly, without fault, on our behalf. And as God sees us, He sees us through the work of Jesus Christ. He sees His perfect righteousness, His perfect obedience. He sees Christ's sacrifice that makes us right with God as well. And the Holy Spirit makes all of that possible for us. He unites us to Jesus Christ. He makes His sacrifice our sacrifice. Christ's righteousness, our righteousness. That's part of where the Holy Spirit leads us. And as we've heard, as we've touched over the past couple of weeks on John 14, John 15, John 16, the Holy Spirit remains with us. He is the comforter, the helper, the counselor that helps us in our life, that leads us into truth, that prompts us to serve Him, who molds and shapes us, who leads us, who helps us to grow, who helps us to display the fruits of the Spirit. Boys and girls, we're working you hard tonight, and grown-ups may have to help with this, but the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? We don't have Tyler here tonight. I remember last time I asked this question, he knew them all. But what are the fruit of the Spirit? Let's say them together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Well done. Those are the fruit that the Holy Spirit grows in us, helps us to display. But notice the phrase here in verse 18. We are led by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. That's a passive way of speaking, if we can put it that way. And that's incredibly helpful. You see, living by the Spirit isn't just about willpower. In fact, it isn't about willpower. Living by the Spirit is not trying harder, reading the Bible more, praying more, beating yourself up more when you sin, saying, I will fight my desires, I will conquer them. Now, living by the Spirit is being willing to be led by His Spirit, to look to God's Spirit for help, to, yes, read His Word, understand His Word, and pray. But we can't miss that step out. When we try on our own, when we do it on our own strength, we're always going to fail. We need to be led by His Spirit, guided by His Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit for His help to work in our lives. Isn't that incredibly freeing, brothers and sisters? If it was up to us to fight our sin, we would fail, and we do fail when we try on our own. It's God's work in us, rather than our working to get to God. I asked a question earlier, and we'll review that in a minute. But the second question this evening is, do you trust the Holy Spirit to help you? Do you trust the Holy Spirit to help you? Is the Holy Spirit good enough for you in your Christian walk? Too often, we can treat the Holy Spirit like a weather forecaster. Or, you know, how much confidence do we place in weather forecasters? Not a lot, do we? Not a lot. And we can do that with the Holy Spirit too. We can lack confidence in Him. We can go, well, I can do this on my own. I don't need His help. But rather, our passage is calling us this evening to lean upon, to be confident in the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, to be willing to be led by Him. A couple of questions that I came across to help you understand this concept. This concept of being willing to be led, of placing your trust in the Holy Spirit. First question is this. When you find yourself frustrated, and we do, don't we, by the desires of the flesh, how do you avoid being discouraged? How do you stop discouragement? Do you talk yourself up? Do you say, it's okay, you'll be right, you'll do it again? Or do you say, help me, God? Help me, Holy Spirit. What is it, next question, that keeps you engaged in the fight against the flesh? How do you strive against a short temper, bitterness, jealousy, feeding your desires, gluttony, lust, or being depressed? How do you fight that? Where do you find your help? Just say, well, that's who I am. That's just how I'm made up. As one person said, it's a sad Christian who has signed a truce with their sin. Think about that. Who signed a truce with their sin because they have so little confidence in the work of the Holy Spirit. We are to be led by God's Spirit. So as we conclude this evening, let's sum up and revise those two questions. The first question is the Christian life a battle for you? If not, why not? If it is, how are you fighting that battle? Are you fighting on your own strength? Are you trying to do it on your own? If so, how's that working out for you? How about instead being willing to be led by God's Spirit, your comforter, your help, your counselor, your advocate, who will bring you to your final victory? Are you willing to walk? Are you willing to be led by God's Spirit? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you have given us a new nature in Jesus Christ, and that's the reality of who we are. But yet, as we've reflected on, and yet as we've been reminded in our text this evening, we still fight those desires of the flesh. We still fight our old sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray this evening that it would be a fight for us, that we would not be content and happy just coexisting, living in our sin. Help us instead to be willing to fight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit given to us so that we do not fight this battle alone. So much so that as Paul speaks in this passage about who we are spiritually, he identifies us with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we pray this evening, Holy Spirit, lead us. Guide us into truth. Help us as we fight the battle and comfort, encourage us as we do so. Lord, in one way, even the thought of the battle is depressing because we know that we're going to be fighting sin and taking sin to our grave. But yet, Heavenly Father, we know that it is not a work that is done in vain. That your Holy Spirit is molding us, is shaping us, is making us more and more like Jesus Christ so we have those victories. That we become more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. So we pray, Heavenly Father, work in our hearts. Help us to be willing to fight, not on our own strength, but through the work of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit, as we strive with a good conscience against the sin in our lives, as we fight the devil, as we battle with the world. Help us, we pray. Lead us, we pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand now and sing the words of number 469. Take time to be holy. Now, in some ways you can sing this hymn and say, well, yeah, I've got to do better, I've got to work harder. But notice where we end up in verse 4. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath his control. How do we do that? Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, we shall soon be fitted for service above. Let's stand and sing these words, after which I'd invite you to remain standing for God's blessing. Thank you.